it's daunting to take that leap of faith. It's scary. It's frightening. You don't know what's on the other end, and you don't know who you are going to be.
Hello, everybody. It's me again, Tim Riddle, with the Discover Blind Spots podcast, where we believe what you don't see can actually hurt you. This is episode 3, and we're trying to post one new episode a week each week. So this is week 3. So thanks for listening. I want to encourage you, if you like these episodes or even some of the other free content in our blog post and video tips about blind spots, I can actually email you a new link every time something posts. That way you don't have to remember to check back and, you know, just to see, is there a new episode out there that you could watch or listen to and so forth. And here's how you do that. You can do that by going to our website, which is discoverblindspots.com, discoverblindspots.com, and click on the resources tab. It's in the top, kind of top right area on the main page. Look for, when you click on that, you'll go to our resources page, and on the very top, there's this red block that you can click on, and it says subscribe. And once you do that, you enter your email, and then you're set to go. And I'll just send you an email, a very short email, that says, hey, here's a new post, and I'll give you a little information about it. And then if it's of interest to you, you can go and listen or watch or whatever. If not, you can delete it. Simple as that. So let's get to today's episode. I'm really excited about today's episode. I think you're going to love my guest this week. Her name is Jillian Kendrick, and she is an Infusionsoft certified partner. And Jillian was my coach as I was learning how to implement this new piece of software in my company. Now, here's the deal. You might be thinking, what in the world does this have to do with blind spots? Well, today we're going to make a slight pivot, and we're going to talk about how blind spots can be uncovered in our businesses with strategy and messaging and all kinds of things. I've seen so many businesses that keep beating the same drum over and over, expecting different results, or they can't seem to understand why their customers don't value their brand because they continue to communicate the same tired, unclear message. So blind spots start with us as individuals, but they can manifest themselves in our businesses and organizations because we can't seem to break out of our old habits. And that's been my desire, to work with businesses, churches, and other organizations to help them uncover those areas that are simply hard to see, that might require a fresh pair of eyes. So let's get to Jillian. She's one of the brightest people in the field of creative ways to communicate with your customer. And you'll soon pick up that some of her success has come from her willingness to step out of her comfort zone and allow herself to be challenged and stretched into the unknown, which can be a huge blind spot for many of us. So here's Jillian. Okay, I'm here with Jillian Kendrick, and welcome, Jillian, to the podcast.
Great, Tim. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, Jillian and I met probably a couple of months ago, and we only met by video conference. We haven't met in person, but over these couple of months, I feel like we've become pretty good friends. Jillian has was actually, the way we met is I enlisted or purchased a piece of software, I guess you would say, Jillian can talk about this. And so when you, this software is pretty involved, and it involves how you can communicate with a customer, and it requires some training. And I was assigned a coach, and Jillian turned out to be the coach that I was assigned to. And I think it was a little bit providential, because I feel like I won in regards to that, because it could have been any coach could have been assigned to me. But I was assigned someone that is that I've learned in this short period of time that is bright, intelligent, extremely helpful, and extremely patient with the thousands of questions that I've asked you over these past few months. So I appreciate that.
Oh, my pleasure, Tim. Thank you so much for those kind words. And thank you for having me on the podcast today. The software that Tim bought was called Infusionsoft. And for anyone who isn't familiar with CRMs or contact relationship management softwares, Infusionsoft is what they call an all-in-one sales and marketing software built for small businesses. It's similar to MailChimp or Constant Contact or Salesforce or 17 Hats, Entreport, and several others, very similar to it. And the beauty of Infusionsoft is that you can automate your messaging and your the way that you're reaching out to your customers via email or text message integrations and other things. And like Tim said, it does come with a bit of a learning curve. So there could be a blind spot there for some customers who, you know, aren't tech savvy or don't know the software or, you know, haven't gotten into the realm of marketing automation yet. But that's why I became a Kickstart coach, is to be able to guide and help people through that process. And Tim was one of my Kickstart clients, and we hit it off, and we've been chatting ever since.
That's correct. And you know, you mentioned, and for those listening who have listened to the first couple of episodes of the podcast, you may be thinking, wait a minute, this is different today, in that a lot of times when people think of blind spots, they think of, which can be, they think of it as a negative thing, a character flaw, personal issue, and so forth. And one of the things that I've tried to do in this company that I've started called Discover Blind Spots is, certainly there's a personal aspect to it, but I also believe that there are blind spots in every organization. There's blind spots with strategy. There's blind spots in our messaging and how we communicate our message as a company, and certainly blind spots within our teams and how we perform. And Jillian was obviously, her focus is in this idea of how we message, how we communicate with our customers. And I know for me, it was a huge blind spot, because when I had the idea of starting the company, I started a company in the marketplace about 27 years ago, and things were radically different back then. And so this time, as I was starting over, I realized that there's a whole lot of technology that you can leverage and take advantage of. And one of the things is how we are able to communicate with our customers, either through email or so forth. And perhaps the traditional way that people think is that, well, I'll get some customers and I'll send them an email every now and then, or I'll ask them to sign up for an e-news that I have, a newsletter, and maybe that's how I'll just kind of push information to them, or I'll send them an email and ask them to buy something, because, you know, just anytime I want them to want to communicate, I'm always asking something of the customer. I'm wanting them to spend money. And this was a blind spot for me in realizing that, wow, there's a whole new world out there, being strategic and how we communicate with our customers. So, talk a little bit about maybe how some of that works, Jillian.
Sure. Well, I find that a lot of clients that I work with, whether it is an Infusionsoft, Kickstart, or if it's something else, if it's marketing coaching or marketing automation coaching or just general business coaching, the majority of the people that I talk to who have that kind of blind spot or who have that barrier, that wall up when it comes to a challenge or it comes to something new or it comes to a fear or a concern that they have, all of those, right, are blind spots in effect. Most of the time, we as human beings think of our blind spots and think of our challenges and things being difficult. We think that they're difficult because we can't do them, because we're not capable of it. And that's how we feel about those blind spots, or that's how we think about those blind spots. But in reality, it's not that we are incapable. It's not that we aren't smart enough or brave enough or have enough money or not strategic enough. It's usually just the simple matter of the fact that we don't know that thing, not because we can't do it, but simply because we haven't been there yet, right? We haven't gone through that process. We haven't had to email clients and market to them or communicate with them or build relationships. And we just haven't been through that. So, you know, if you've never walked before, how could you possibly run? If you've never spoken a word before, how could you write a poem? You know, if you write, like, it all kind of goes hand in hand, that it's just the simple fact of we have these blind spots or we have these fears or reservations about doing something, whether it's a personal or business circumstance. We have these fears because we just haven't been there yet and we haven't tackled that situation or that circumstance yet. And so my job as a coach is really just to be the conduit in between the client and getting them into the software or getting them through that experience or getting them beyond whatever it is that's holding them back or that's blocking them.
Yeah, I think you, wow, I think you, just tremendous insight. I think you've unpacked something that I know we're talking about Infusionsoft, and I know we're talking about email marketing, but I think you've unpacked a life principle here that we all have dealt with and faced. I always say that it's so much easier to look backward than it is to look forward. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and the reason is we love looking back because a lot of times looking back is the familiar, and looking forward is the unknown, which can be the scary part. And a lot of times that's really where our, when we think about blind spots, a lot of times the reason we don't address them or we don't want to go there is because they're unknown. We're unsure as to what we're going to uncover when we, you know, we pick up that rock and look underneath it and so forth. And so we stay in a world of familiar, and we don't take chances, and we don't take a leap of faith. We don't stretch ourselves, and so forth. And that might—I know you're talking about strategy, and I want to get to that. But this seems a good transition too to think about. You started your business, which people can find you at JillianKendrick.com. But you started that, you kind of took a leap of faith as well, at least from what I understand from reading about you and what I know about you. And so my guess is that there were some fears there of some unknowns that you had to address.
Yeah, no, thank you for bringing that up. And it's so true. And I think for anyone listening and anyone who wants to share this podcast out with friends or colleagues as well, it's daunting to take that leap of faith. It's scary. It's frightening. You don't know what's on the other end, and you don't know who you are going to be on the other end of that leap or that push. So I think for anyone listening to hear an example of someone else who's been there and who's done something that they are either working towards or trying to achieve, or maybe even like a little nervous or apprehensive about, to hear an example of somebody who's been there. I always know that when I hear those examples and I think, okay, well, if they did it, so can I. If they were brave enough, well, I can bottle up my insecurities and I can put them in the corner of the room just long enough to move, like you said, move the can forward and be a little bit more successful today than I was yesterday. So the for me, I left college with a degree in music. So I had zero tangible skills as far as like the business world goes. I knew a lot about how to sight read music. I knew a lot about arpeggios and, you know, andante and all sorts of things, but nothing to do with the real business world or statistics or anything like that. So I had to learn all of those skills. In fact, 2009, just after I graduated in college in December of 08, but in 2009, when the economy tanked, there was nothing. There were no jobs to be had. Even if you had skills, even if you had a business and you had a job, a lot of people lost their jobs. A lot of people lost their businesses. A lot of stuff went under. And I was just getting started in the real world, and it was very difficult. So a friend of mine said, hey, why don't you go on Upwork or Odesk or Elance and start to, just start to see if you can do any kind of like a virtual assistant type of work. So I went on there, had no idea what I was doing, right? Left college with no tangible skills. So I went on Upwork and I took any job I possibly could for anybody who would hire me or give me experience, whether it was paid or unpaid, just so I could get some experience, just so I could get, you know, some work and life experience under my belt. And I did that for a little while until I found eventually found a client who used Infusionsoft. I realized how powerful the software was. And so I said, okay, I'm only going to work with clients who have or need Infusionsoft, and I'm going to dedicate myself and my business to learning this thing. And I think it's a testament, that's not to be braggadocious at all. It's a testament to the fact that I had no skills when it came to coding, JavaScript, HTML, C++, any of that. I had no business acumen or business skills to speak of when I left college, but I was able, through dedication and hard work, perseverance, and pushing through those fears and those blind spots, I was able to now own my own digital marketing agency that helps other clients learn and use Infusionsoft in their business.
Yeah. And on your website, I read a little bit, I think it was on your website, I read the story as to you had had some clients at one point and things were going well and you were working just an incredible amount of hours and experiencing success. And then you got sick, maybe a flu or whatever, and you were down for several days, almost a week or so, and you lost some clients because you literally couldn't get all the work done. Talk a little bit about that. I think the thing that I was most impressed with was you could have said, okay, I'm done. But you sort of picked yourself up and moved into maybe even another unknown venture of strategy. Maybe we get back to our strategy conversation of saying, hey, what I was doing, I ran into an obstacle, so I can sort of take my marbles and go home, or mm-hmm. I can figure out a different strategy and move in a different direction. So share a little bit about that.
Yeah, no, thank you for asking. So that was right inside the trenches of my transition from having general virtual assistant clients to only working with Infusionsoft clients. That was the start or middle of that transition. And what happened was I was a solopreneur. I had nobody else working for me. Now, of course, I have a virtual assistant. I have a programmer. I have a graphic design person. I have a few other people here and there. But at the time, it was only me. And so everything in my business, everything that got done, every task, every email, everything was on my shoulders. And it was a really, really hard, but such an important lesson as a business owner to learn, because I was, all right, that was my transition period. I was transitioning from being a virtual assistant or being what they call like a contractor. Right. I was transitioning from being a contractor to truly being a business owner. And in order to make that transition, you have to grow as a person. You have to push through those blind spots, and you have to realize that there's certain things that you need to learn. And unfortunately, there's no other way to learn them but going through some rough times. And that was it for me. Is I got the flu. It was the first time in my adult life I had ever gotten the flu. So I had no idea what I was in for. But I got the flu. I was out for a solid week. I couldn't even bring myself to answer emails or I couldn't do anything. I was just so sick. And because I couldn't answer emails, I couldn't call clients, I lost my voice. Nothing got done. Absolutely nothing got done. And so the clients that I had, you know, were rightfully so upset that, you know, their work wasn't getting done, and they were paying for stuff that I couldn't deliver or, you know, whatever. And it was a hard lesson and a hard blind spot for me to get through, to realize that if I truly want to be a business owner and I actually want to run a business, the business has to be able to run independent of me.
Yeah, I agree. I was talking with a friend of mine Saturday evening, and we were talking about just, you know, general business things. And one of the things that we both agreed, and I think you've hit on this a little bit, is for business leaders, particularly if you're an owner of a company, but if you're a leader of a particular department and so forth, and maybe you were there when it started, and so you did all the tasks that needed to be done. The biggest challenge is how to decide that you can't continue to do things the way you've always done them. You can't continue to manage every detail, every 10-foot level detail, yeah, because you have to be able to kind of get up in the 30,000-foot level and see where you're going, and releasing some of that responsibility is hard to do. And sounds like your flu, which you know, was obviously, don't wish the flu on anybody, but it sounds like overall it may have been a huge blessing for yeah, you to sort of, you know, maybe wake you up a little bit to say, wow, this something has to change. And so all of a sudden you're able to move in a different direction, and obviously a very successful one. I have a story that I tell. When I started my first company, it was a textile company, and it, you know, it started with, you know, just one person or two people. It was a very small organization, and I did most everything. I, you know, invoiced and shipped and sold and drove a truck and did, you know, everything that a new business owner would do. And mm-hmm. So then when the company achieved some success, and we were at a market in Atlanta, and we had several employees at the time. We actually, our employee base had grown to, we were close to 100 employees. And so we had a customer service department and managers, so forth. And so when I would go to a trade show, I would normally go early in the business, I would go and sell. I would set up and I would sell and I would take the orders and I would talk to the customers, and they knew me and so forth. Well, now things had changed and we had sales reps and so forth. My job was really just to go and you know, sort of wave and shake hands and, you know, introduce myself and sell a little bit, but to allow the people that were there to be able to do their job. And it always bothered me because I always thought, well, you know, I think I can do this better, you know, or I think I can, mm-hmm. you know, I used to do this, and so I should still be doing it. And we had a customer who walked into one of our showrooms, and he didn't know me and I didn't know him. And I was sitting there and I was all dressed up, had on my coat and tie, and I was sitting in a chair, and he walks up and he says, "Do you know anything about this product line?" And so I kind of smiled, thinking, well, he doesn't know who I am. And so I stood up and I didn't introduce myself. And I just said, sure, I know a little bit. Let me tell you. So I started into my sales pitch. I got about 20 seconds into the pitch and he stopped me and he said, "Is Karen here?" And Karen was the customer service manager that he had dealt with. And I said, "Well, yeah, she's here. She's right over there working with another customer." And he said, "No offense, I think I'll just wait for Karen." And for me, it was, I sort of, you know, slouched back down in my chair and sort of thought, wow, you know, my feelings got hurt. But then on the other hand, I thought, well, that was what should happen. You know, the customer had maybe even more confidence in someone who was in that area than the actual business owner. But boy, that's a hard lesson to learn, by all means.
Wow. So isn't it funny how those blind spots or those lessons, sometimes we have foresight. We have the gift of foresight to be able to look at a crossroads in our life or a crossroads in our business and to say, okay, this is a blind spot. And I actually have the choice of whether I want to move past this or overcome this or not. And then other times, in the case of your story, in the case of my story, those blind spots just hit us. Yeah. And whether we're ready for them or not, whether we want to take them on or not, they're just circumstances in our life. Whether it's God or the universe or karma or something else working, it's necessary for us to learn those lessons.
Yeah, I always, I posted something in the past couple of days, and in the book that Phil Anderson and I have written that comes out early next year. But one of the things that I wrote in there is I said, it's better to manage your blind spots or they'll manage you. Wow. When they manage you, obviously we become very reactive as opposed to being proactive. Now, the interesting thing too is that, you know, a lot of people will, I had another friend this weekend was pushing back on me and saying, well, if they're blind, how in the world do you manage them? How do you know? and I said, well, that's true. Because if they're completely blind, that's why we need to do life together. That's why we need to surround ourselves with people that can provide some additional eyes and ears, you know, not only into us personally, but also into our, you know, business practices. I mean, for example, for me, with this whole idea of developing relationships with customers by email through Infusionsoft, I needed, in fact, I don't know if you recall, but when you, Jillian, were sort of doing my coaching, when we were going through our training and so forth, there were times that I would say to you, am I missing anything? You know, does this look right to you? Am I missing something? And the main reason I did that is because I can't see it. You know, my knowledge is only so much, or my experience is only goes to this point at this stage of the game. And so you have traveled down that road way more than I have. So your eyesight is much better than mine is at this point. So what do you see that I don't see? And I just think that's so critical to be able to have that. It's nice to be able to be proactive, but sometimes we do learn, and sometimes we ebb and flow, and we make those changes in direction and strategy off of a tough time that comes in our life as well.
We need to recognize, as business owners especially, and for anybody listening, we need to recognize that there are certain blind spots that we can muscle through. There are certain blind spots that we can think our way through, and there are others that we need to, again, set aside our ego and ask for help and say, hey, this is something that I haven't been through, that I don't have eyes on, that I don't have that foresight. Yeah. And I need someone to guide me through this process. And I think, you know, that's one of the great pieces of that's one of the great things that you're doing, Tim, is, you know, being able to guide and walk someone through their blind spots, whether they are blind, like your friend said, and they need help even just recognizing that those blind spots exist. Or maybe they recognize that the blind spots exist, they've acknowledged them, but they need to figure out a plan of action on how to overcome them, or, you know, or they need just that guidance and that help. I think we all get to those points. Some of us, if you're anything like me, some of us are stubborn, more stubborn than others. And maybe we need a little bit more help, or we need a little bit more time to admit, yes, I need something else. But I really commend you, Tim, for what you're doing, and I think it's something that everybody who's in business really, really needs.
Yeah, I think you've hit on a point. I think the first step in all that is really the awareness of I need, you need help. I need somebody to help me figure this out. You know, I when I looked at this idea of email nurturing, I said, I need help. I need somebody. And so I reached out to Infusionsoft, and really the clincher for me was when they said, well, we assign a coach with you who you'll spend 5 to 6 hours with this coach to get you started. So you're not doing this alone, but you have to have that willingness. You're right. You have to put the ego aside. Daniel Goleman wrote a book several years ago called emotional intelligence, and it was a little bit of a life changer. Statement he made was that you can train somebody, you can force feed them, you can love them, care for them, you can do whatever you want. But unless they admit that they need help in a particular area, unless they're able to admit that, the best you can expect is about a 2 to 3% improvement. And so for me, that was sort of a game changer to say, wow, I mean, you can help people, but you can't force it on somebody. You have to be willing to say, hey, what am I missing? You know, what I obviously don't know this, and what am I missing so that somebody can kind of help me do that as well. One other thing, maybe we'll kind of wrap up with this, but, and this goes back to this idea of blind spots are not necessarily, they're not always, this negative character flaw, this sin, this, whatever, this thing that, this deep, dark, demon that's inside of us. Sometimes we have blind spots of things that are inside of us that need to be, some light needs to be, to shine on them, because it's a good thing. And maybe it's a talent that we have. Maybe it's a gift, something that we have been afraid to do, or we're a little nervous to stretch ourselves. And I love the story that I think I told you I found on maybe Facebook or whatever, but you had really not thought of yourself as being a conference speaker and so forth, maybe hadn't aspired to do that, and an opportunity kind of came across your desk, and not inviting you to do it, but maybe with the possibility of you sort of raising your hand and saying, hey, let me speak at this. and I loved on your, I think it was a little video on your Facebook deal where you said, friends, you know, this is not me. In other words, I am really stretching myself here. But it sounds like, talk a little bit about that. It sounds like you went forward with it and it was a positive thing. And maybe that was one of those blind spots that was something that just needed to be affirmed for you that maybe you didn't know was there.
Definitely. Yeah. Thank you for bringing up. I think that'll be valuable for anyone listening. So Infusionsoft as a company used to run an annual conference called ICON or InfusionCon. And last year they decided that it was, and rightfully so, they decided it was more important for them to put their funds towards really honing in on their core product than it was for them to, run conferences and kind of be an event planning business. That wasn't what they were in business for. So they dissolved this annual user conference, which kind of upset a lot of the Infusionsoft community. And so Tyler Garnes from Box Out Marketing decided that he was going to pick up that baton and run with it and create a new Infusionsoft or internet marketing conference called SuccessCon. You can go to, I think it's attendsuccesscon.com, and look up pictures from last year and stuff from the event this past year back in March of 2018, and then details on tickets and whatnot for next year as well. But you're absolutely right, Tim, is I had always been the person in the background supporting the speakers. I've always been the nuts and bolts person. I've always been the one that kind of makes everybody else look good. I really didn't picture myself as an event speaker or as a motivational speaker, or really, honestly, even as a marketing coach. It just kind of fell into my lap. So along comes, you know, SuccessCon and Box Out Marketing announced that they were going to, you know, be putting on this event and that they needed speakers. And I thought, wow, wouldn't this be an incredible opportunity for me to, you know, stretch beyond my limits and do something that I'm not normally used to doing. In fact, this is kind of unwrapping some stuff personally for me just in this conversation, but I don't particularly consider myself the most eloquent speaker. When I think about things, it's very hard for me to focus on just one thing that I want to talk about when 30 other thoughts are running through my brain. You know what I mean? Sure. I think a lot of people can relate to that. And so I never considered myself a really eloquent sort of public speaker. And not to say I'm not afraid of public speaking. Growing up singing and, you know, doing opera and being in performance, being on stage and in front of people is not a big deal for me personally. And so I was never nervous about speaking in front of people, but I was always nervous about saying the right thing. And I would always go back and think, you know, I would have a conversation with someone or I would say something and then I would go home and be like, gosh, why did I say that? Dear brain, why did you have to say that this way?
We always want to replay that tape, don't we?
Oh my gosh, I do that all the time. And so I was truly a little bit fearful that getting up and to speak in front of people just wasn't my thing. It wasn't a talent that I had. But I knew that if I wanted to get to that point, I knew that if I wanted to start to be recognized in that area with my peers and other colleagues who are Infusionsoft certified partners like I am, that this was the next step. And I wanted to, and honestly, I didn't even think that when I applied to be a speaker at SuccessCon, I genuinely did not believe that I was going to get it. I wrote basically to be a speaker at the time. You had to outline your speech. You had to tell them what you were talking about. You had to tell them why it was important for people attending SuccessCon to learn about your topic. You had to tell them, you know, have you ever spoken in front of people before? Have you ever done this, this, that, and the other? And plenty of other speakers have spoken at other events. Plenty of other speakers at SuccessCon have done other things beyond me. And so I kind of had this gut feeling that I'm going to do this because I need to get outside of my comfort zone and I need to stretch myself in order for, you know, to grow at all. But I don't think they're actually going to accept my application to speak. And then one day, I think it was a random Thursday or Friday afternoon, I get an email from Tyler Garnes at Box Out Marketing saying, and the curious thing about this email was it did not have my first name in it. It didn't say, Jillian, congratulations, you've been accepted to speak at SuccessCon. It just said, congratulations, you've been accepted. So my gut feeling, right? Because we don't really believe in ourselves.
Yeah, those demons were coming out.
Totally, the demons were coming out in me. And I was like, are we sure that he sent this email to the right person?
Right, right.
But in fact, he did. And I was so excited. I told everybody. I hosted a couple of webinars in order to prepare. I had my speech. My husband helped me with my slides because, again, creating slides, something that I've never really had to do and wasn't very good at it. He does it all the time. So he helped me with that. And in fact, I at SuccessCon, after everyone who spoke, when your talk was over, they would hand out little sheets of paper asking the attendees to rate the speakers on a scale from 1 to 10, based on how did you like the speaker? How were their presentation skills? Was the topic applicable to your business? Would you, you know, did you enjoy them, et cetera? And after the event was over and all of the stats got tallied, all of the speakers got sent a document telling them basically how they scored and how they ranked and it turns out I was ranked, I think there were four categories. I was ranked the fourth highest speaker in two categories and the sixth highest speaker in the other categories. And I was again thinking, are you sure you sent the right email to the right person?
Good for you.
Yeah. But I mean, that's not at all to be braggadocious. That is simply to show that if you are willing to get uncomfortable, if you're willing to extend yourself just a little bit, there's really no telling what success and what great things can come of it.
Yeah, I know it's hard for me to believe. For example, if you go to my website, I actually have a speaking tab where I'm available to speak at places. And that is so far, I won't go into the details, but that is so far from, you know, if you had asked me that 20 years ago or so, I would have told you you're crazy. And really the kind of the Cliff's Notes version for me, and this is about sometimes the blind spots that need to be affirmed or that's not a bad thing, but I did, back in the day when the Clifton Strengths Finder was the sort of the thing to do, it still is. I think it's a very applicable inventory that you can take that identifies your top five strengths. And the philosophy is that you should spend as much of your time as you can in your strength area. And if you do that, then you'll be energized and you'll be using your gifts and not doing, the things that you're not good at. The disadvantage is that you can't just snap your fingers and say, oh, well, I'm just going to do all the things I enjoy that I'm good at and not do the other stuff that we have to do those things we don't want to do. So the goal is to say, okay, well, if this year today I'm spending 10% of my strengths, then maybe next year I can be spending 15%, you know, kind of moving in a positive direction. But I remember in that inventory, I took it and my number one strength was strategic, which didn't surprise me because I had done a lot of strategic stuff. But in that list, my fifth strength, I think they ranked them in, you know, 1 to 5 or whatever. But within that top five was communication. Mm-hmm. And it floored me. And I remember what it did for me was it was a little bit of an affirmation to say, oh, wait a minute, maybe I can do this. And so it gave me some confidence. And so since that time, I've, you know, given, you know, dozens and dozens of, you know, probably maybe hundreds of so talks and in different, you know, various forms. But it was a complete blind spot for me that I would have never, because I was just like you. I was never the one. I didn't raise my hand in the class to say, let me give the talk, let me be the one that speaks. I mean, I was always the one that just sat back and listened. So I do think that there are those times that we do need to take that leap of faith or that stretch or walk into that unknown, you know, kind of circling back to what we talked about at the beginning, where it is so hard, much harder at times to look forward as opposed to looking, you know, back at the familiar and trying to want to stay into that particular zone of life. And I think you've demonstrated just in your story today, multiple examples where you said, I don't know what this looks like ahead of me, but I'm going to have enough confidence and gut and will and desire to at least take a step in that direction. And if it doesn't work out, I'll move and, you know, my strategy will change and I'll move in a different way, but I'm not going to just stay back in this area that I'm comfortable with and not venture into the unknown. So I appreciate you. I appreciate you being vulnerable and sharing your story.
Tim, thank you so much. I really, I'm grateful to have met you through the Infusionsoft Kickstart and to have coached you a little bit. And certainly, I really appreciate what you're doing for your listeners and everyone here in terms of blind spots, because whether we want to admit it or not, whether we want this thing, this is a part of owning a business. This is a part of, even from a personal level, this is a part of growing up and being an adult and becoming a better person, is pushing through those times and those circumstances where we don't have a guaranteed outcome, or we don't know what the result is going to be, or even more frightening than that, we don't know who we are going to be
on
the other side.
Yeah.
So thank you for, you know, thank you for being a part of the resolution and for helping guide business owners and people through those things in life.
Sure. Thank you. If people want to connect with you, if someone, you know, if I was listening to this, one of the first things I would do is go online and look up Infusionsoft and say, let me learn a little bit more about that. And really, how do I become strategic in communicating with my customers? How do I create really the simplest way to describe it to me is, it's a system that you can put in place and then it works while you're sleeping. So it's not an employee you have to hire. It's not somebody you have to hire to manage. It's not something that you have to think, oh, wow, it's going to take 2 or 3 hours of every day. Once the system is in place through the help of a coach like you, Jillian, then it really works 24/7, works around the clock, works while you're sleeping, while you're busy, while you're working with other customers. But if someone wanted to find out more about that and maybe even to work with you, which I would highly recommend that others get the benefit of your eyes and your ears and your knowledge, I can attest to that I wouldn't consider anybody else. But if they wanted to do that, what's the best way for them to find out more about that?
Yeah, thanks for asking. So if you go to jilliankendrick.com, right there on my homepage is the opt-in for my lead magnet, which is the 7 secrets to creating your perfect offer. And that's actually what my speech at SuccessCon was about. It was about how to create a lead magnet and how to start building that relationship with your clients and customers. And that really is the most crucial piece, because that's what sets the expectation for how you're going to communicate with them. And it begins that know, like, and trust factor in business that we all definitely need. So at jilliankendrick.com, like I said, on the homepage, you can grab a free copy of the 7 secrets for crafting your perfect offer. And it also comes, I don't usually write this, but it also comes with a bonus video a video to my speech at SuccessCon. So if you're interested in watching that or reading that, if you're interested in watching that, even just for the purpose of seeing, well, you know, I've now talked about my speech and how I wasn't really a speaker and I got, you know, this really high rating at SuccessCon. Well, if you want to watch what that speech was like, you can go ahead and opt in for that and you can watch the speech video there. If anyone is interested in Infusionsoft, as an Infusionsoft certified partner myself, I can actually sell Infusionsoft to different clients. And sometimes we can get, as certified partners, sometimes now and again, we can get a little bit better deals for clients than what buying directly through Infusionsoft will give you. So if you're interested in Infusionsoft and you're serious about marketing automation and building and developing your relationships with your clients so that, you know, like Tim said, you can kind of set it and forget it, or you can build this system that kind of works on the back end while you're working on other things or speaking at events or working through your blind spots, then if you're interested in Infusionsoft, you can contact me either at Jillian@JillianKendrick.com, or you can contact me through the Contact Us page on my website. And I would be happy to give you a demo or walk through Infusionsoft or answer any questions that you might have.
That's great. I'm looking now as you were talking. I pulled up your opt-in on your website, JillianKendrick.com, 7 secrets to crafting your perfect offer. I can testify that I downloaded this. I paid $27 after that, after you get your free opt-in, if you decide you want to do that. And it was worth 10 times that. I would encourage everybody to at least consider moving forward. It was well laid out. The videos, actually, you gave people lots of options. You could listen, you could watch a video, you could listen by audio, or you could read. You had all three parts out there. So it was extremely well done and very helpful for me. So I encourage people to take advantage of that.
Thanks so much, Tim. Actually, the price that you mentioned was my old pricing, and now it's gone up to, I think, $47 or something like that.
Okay.
But
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. If anyone listening is interested in buying that secondary product, or if they, you know, want a consultation with me, I'll be willing to do it at that regular price that Tim mentioned. You can just let me know that you heard this on the webinar. And, you know, we can work something out.
Well, that's very kind of you. I would encourage our customers to pay the regular price because it's worth 10 times that. So you're getting a deal anyway, but that's kind of you to do that. Well, listen, hey, thanks for the time, Jillian. Thanks for the time this morning and for sharing. And I feel like I've been blessed here a little bit because I've gotten to see, get to know you even more today than as we've been spending time together the past couple of months by video and video conference and so forth. But thanks for being transparent and sharing that. And thanks for being great eyes and ears and a mind of sharing your intelligence and your foresight and your wisdom with me in my business. I certainly appreciate everything that you've done.
Wow. Thanks, Tim. And thank you, everyone, for listening.